All right, so officially, this is the very first time our roundtable is taking 4 hours. It's
bang.
It's a bang. You're welcome, guys. This is 99.3 Nigeria Info. We're your number one station for talk in the heart of Lagos. And this is the roundtable. If you're joining for the first time, what we do here is all of your favorite guys on Nigeria Info for once in a year or twice in a year, we're going to tell you how we feel about these matters that Nigeria talk about and that we bring on the radio for you to talk about. We'd also let you talk to us on social media, and that's Nigeria Info 99.3. My name is Wemimo Adewuni. You guys introduce yourself.
My name's Joyce. Of course, you know me on the sunny side. I'm your host.
My name is Ezugu Chukwudi, Lagos caretaker.
Oh, are you? Well, yes. That's brilliant.
Yeah, that's what they call it.
Oh, well, yeah. That's a good one.
Caretaker.
I'm Sheriff Quadri.
Oh, that's nice.
Over Skype, we have Sandra Zakosili still here. Sandra, can you hear me? Hello, Sandra, are you there? Okay, they all took a break. Please tell them that we're back so they can join again over Zoom. We're streaming live on Facebook and YouTube, as I said earlier, so you can join us there and share your thoughts with us. Now, let's move on the conversation and talk about insecurity. Before we open it up to the general insecurity matter, let's talk about the various prison breaks we had this year. As at right now, 12:15 p.m., December 13th, we still have criminals roaming around Nigeria.
Yep, entering the same bus that you enter.
Yes. The person is possibly sitting behind you right now in the bus.
Yeah. I mean, not to cause a scare or anything, but that's
it
just
is what it is. Yeah. It is what it is. So we have criminals roaming about. We've had two recent jailbreaks. I mean, and we're unable. We hear the Minister of Interior talking tough. Oh, you better come back, or if we catch you, you're going to have stuff. But I don't think we're going to get them back.
And they're not going to submit themselves. The conditions are not favorable. I hear life there is horrifying. And sometimes there is the case to be made for some of the inmates who have not necessarily been treated fairly before our judicial system.
So either they are waiting trial.
Or they've been waiting for too long, or nobody's even picking up their case, and which is a very sad thing. So I have this friend who's a lawyer, and she told me that every year she tries to get one person out of prison. And she told me a story about a guy she recently got out of prison. And she said after she took him out of prison, she took him to have lunch. And she said she watched him eat like an animal. That he ate like he hadn't eaten in probably years. He ate like an animal, and he kept saying to her, "Oh, thank you. You can't believe the last time we ate food." And I thought, really? She's like, yeah. So she's a lawyer, and she was trying to explain to me the psychological depletion that you know these guys suffer. Now, I don't know. I didn't ask whether he was guilty or not.
Yeah.
For her to be a lawyer and successfully got him out, well, says something for his criminal state or his crime. So I feel our judicial system, well, the same story.
I think there's just this sentiment like if you deserve to be behind the walls, then you should get whatever comes to you. I'm not sure if it's if you deserve, but if you get to get there,
then what you see is what you get.
What you see is what
which
you
doesn't
get.
Quite, which is not a good face for our system, judicial system.
And I think it's a major problem.
Yeah,
if,
it is.
If the only thing we do is say we're going from prisons to correctional center,
changing the name.
I recall that the former minister for interior, Abdulrahman Dambazal, said that people go in as dogs and come out as lions. Oh. It goes a long way to show that I hear stories of people who go in, people who go in and come back with even more network and connection than people who go for business meetings. Somebody goes into the prison for picking pockets and comes back with contacts of people who can snatch cars. And they tell him, go to this place, go to that place, and they carry on. Let's look at the number of people in a particular facility. Some of these facilities were built in colonial era. And they are accommodating 10 times the number of inmates. So we have a major problem. And it's not to make fancy speeches and say, you know, the ministry or for interior that is popular for just declaring public holidays is doing this and doing that. We must do a lot more.
We have no regard.
In our hands. And it's really very embarrassing because if you look at the percentage of people in prison, whether awaiting trial or those that have been convicted, to the general population of Nigeria, we're supposed to be sent. Now, if we cannot take care of this minute, this very small number, in the looking at the size of our population, then problem is coming.
I think the problem is already knocking.
Exactly.
I mean, if we've had successful jailbreaks and we were unable to get them back, do we have the appropriate data? I mean, when I hear the ministry talk tough, oh, we're going to get you, I'm like, how?
We need a human face to the justice system. I feel that maybe we believe that the strong arm of the law is one way to bend a criminal and bring him to repentance. Well, it's not working. Mm. So the law needs a human face. So that maybe what I mean is that we treat people as though they're still worth a living chance. And that their crime, we do not sentence them. We can punish them for the crime, but do not totally take away their life's meaning or purpose because of the crime. So once again, I don't know if it's a power thing or it's a function of the gap in the system, a fracture in the structure, or both. So until we're able to honestly become humans ourselves and work within our law system or work within the judicial system with a face that's humane and just, I think we are going to have a problem mutating even quicker than the virus is.
I think we have a bigger problem. I think we have some serious issues as regards prisons, as regards the criminal justice administration
system
in Nigeria. First and foremost, Chukwudi made some very valid point earlier about the state of our prisons. I don't know if you guys have heard, but the locations of our prisons, number one, those locations are wrong, because you find prisons beside the market. You find prisons in the middle of where, you know, businesses are taking place. Some are even very close to palace of some emirs somewhere. Overcrowded prisons. This exposes other people, inhabitants of those areas, to some unnecessary risks. Now let's talk about the state of our prisons. Has there been any concerted effort towards improving the conditions of the prisons, the prison that we have? No CCTV camera,
right?
No security, no adequate infrastructure. It's just like you put human beings to live as pigs inside a place. How do you correct such? I don't even know who gave them the idea of
changing
the
name.
When you have not changed the structure, you have not changed the system.
So I'm very worried that we have prisoners roaming about right now, some of whom might not be criminals, but quite a number of whom would be criminals.
Could be
criminals. And well, they're just...
Well, unfortunately, there's nothing we can do about it but hope that they don't commit even worse crimes compared to that which they committed earlier on.
Is it a country like Nigeria, I believe, should have... I know some states have imbibed it. It's... community service as an alternative punishment for imprisonment, especially for those who have
the petty crimes.
Petty crimes.
Misdemeanors.
Because you made a point that someone, you go in there, you stole minor crime, and then you get there, you come back, you're a hardened criminal. You're also exposed to health risks and all that. And I think some states have imbibed that. I know that sometime in your state, the House of Assemblies, we're talking on, you know, taking that as a law, that if you can use community service. Now, that's an advantage because it supplies a solution.
Yeah.
So if you're doing community service, imagine if the number of prisoners who are there, who are not even supposed to be there because of the kind of crimes they have, you know, were engaged in proper community service as a way of punishing them. That would help their immediate community, their environment.
You clean the environment,
it would also,
clean, you sweep and wash the gutters.
So I'm wondering why. Okay, we do not have great prisons. We do not have space to keep the prisoners. Why on earth is this not an alternative? Why hasn't someone
taking
listened?
It so long?
Why is it taking so long for someone to... Okay, even if it's not at the federal level, let's even start with the state level, make it a law. I don't know how many states in Nigeria have been taking that as a law, but I think that would help. Because to fix the entire problem of the prison system,
and you cannot separate the prisons from the court. We have
absolutely
very few judges. Very few judges. Judges who have cases and on their calendar you won't see space. So someone gets arrested today, and the next thing is
adjourn.
He starts waiting.
You adjourn for the next three months, and then you adjourn for whatever reason for the next.
It's not fair on the person's right.
Yeah.
Regardless of the crime or being a suspect.
Yeah.
It's just not fair.
Yeah, right.
Which also now begs the question, the concern about the abuse of human rights
exactly.
in Nigeria.
In Nigeria.
Let's go on a break. When we come back, we're going to take the last hour dealing with insecurity head on. There have been clamors to declare bandits as terrorists. I hope you guys are happy now. The government says it will declare them as terrorists. Let's declared. Talk about that when we come back from the break. This is a roundtable on Agenda 99.3 Nigeria Info. We're back after this break. Stay here. All right, welcome back. If you guys could just have the opportunity to hear our conversations during the break.
Oh, no. That's a real juice.
But nah, you guys will never get to hear it. But that's what we do, actually, on radio. And when we're done, we have these conversations going on. You're welcome back. It's the Roundtable. All your favorites are here for 4 hours, man. Sheriff, what's up now? Okay, we'll talk about it later, right?
No, don't say that.
Small chops.
Bless your heart.
No. I don't do small chops. It's got to be something
big
different.
Chops. Yeah.
No.
Let's just go out for lunch.
Nice and decadent.
Let's just go out for lunch.
You're taking us out for lunch.
Yay! Yeah.
Perfect location.
In your mind.
I'm not eating rice, though, because you guys have a habit of always buying rice, man. Every time rice.
Did he say lunch in our minds?
In your minds, huh?
Wow. Sure.
Wow.
Like we have flooded you for nothing.
Wow. No worry. The CEO is listening. I will get a message from him now.
We need to take calls. Okay. So let's talk about insecurity, I mean, in broader terms. I don't need to even introduce this conversation. Across Nigeria. I mean, we even had foreigners come into Nigeria and shoot our people.
Yeah.
You know, I was talking yesterday, again, because I have a media hub, I hosted some journalists called Maya Watijani, who writes for the AFP, told us about a story he wrote. He couldn't publish that story. And there are stateless Nigerians who, because of insecurity, run out of Nigeria. Of course, they leave everything, no ID card, nothing. Run out of the border. And then trying to come back, so just stop them. Who are you? Identify. They have no identity. They can't go back into the neighboring place. They can't come into Nigeria. So they're hanging around. So So he did that report. He went there. He went to Borno State. If I was like, guy, he went to Borno State and did all that report. He was, of course, threatened by soldiers who asked him to leave immediately, you know, and so on. So aside having people in IDP camps, we also have stateless people loafing around.
Double jeopardy.
No citizenship, no identity card. Nobody's, or they have no country. So, of course, the effect is rippling across the country. Colin, I'll start with you.
Yeah, man, quickly, I will take it from where you stopped. I mean, you talked about people who had no identity and then they can't find themselves in here. I remember some time ago, out of my curiosity, I followed a couple of friends. I mean, we can go to Libya, or let's follow. And then we went through Sokoto and then we're trying to go. I mean, I had money. I had some change with me, so you know, I felt it was just an adventure. But what I found out on that road was that there were hundreds and hundreds of people on a daily basis trying to cross to get to Libya so they can go to the Mediterranean Sea and get to Europe. And that's happening even up to now.
Yeah,
that in itself, you know, it's a major challenge, because let me tell you another thing that I noticed. So when you get there, you're caught. They usually don't have identity, most people. So what you're asked is, where are you going to? Where are you going to? So people just choose wherever they want to go to this. Okay, where did you come from? You say this. I'm going to, it's Nigeria and Lagos, is this. So you find a number of people that find themselves in societies in Nigeria that they have no family whatsoever, no link. No link. Two of that.
Oh.
So that in itself, it's a major challenge.
So even a non-Nigerian can claim to then be a Nigerian and come.
I mean,
here.
From the they have no, nobody's checking. No one will check any. They won't check you. Where you have nothing to show. First of all, you are.
So you just claim citizenship of any country in Africa that you want.
They ship you there. You go there, and then you get there, and then you find yourself. So that in itself could be something that's ongoing, even as we speak right now.
Chikudi.
Major problem. And this is just one aspect of what we have to deal with as a result of rising insecurity. Now, for me, I believe that we're at an all-time low. And this is because, you know, I would want to key into what I said last year about embarrassing the government. Now, somebody who is highly placed in this government, a spokesperson, you know, in order in trying to justify a situation, was mentioning periods in the previous administration where people died in their numbers. Now you read the papers and see 15 die, 32 die, 53 die, 60 die. And people try to downplay these numbers and argue back and forth about the numbers because you feel that the higher the number, the more embarrassing it is for the government of the day. I think as a people, we need to place premium on Nigerian lives. And while we say that, you know, we want you to improve our lives, do this and do that, first and foremost, no Nigerian should be faced with such a situation where they just die and they just die and go like that and go away. And, you know, the memory is lost.
Yeah,
and only the family has to contend with that situation. That's number one. Then number two, it's important to admit that your plans are not working. And you need to go back to the drawing board and see what you can do.
But in this situation, there's no admittance. Let me tell you, there's a recent article written by the Daily Trust. You guys must have seen it yesterday.
Yeah.
The Daily Trust did a fantastic, it's an editorial. It's titled, Life Has Lost Its Value Under Buhari's Nigeria. Race issues around insecurity and how the government is not getting a hang of it.
Mm-hmm.
There was a rebuttal from the government titled, yesterday, Too Late, Buhari Forever. It's a response to that editorial in the Daily Trust. And this is written by Garba Shehu, signed by him. And he says, oh, the president is, I mean, this is not the time to bring out matters like this. This is just political. But people are dying, Sheriff.
Yes, people are dying. Let me pick it up from the editorial. The editorial highlighted quite a number of things. The editorial spoke about how passengers in a bus were burned to death, you know, by bandits. The editorial talked about how a commissioner was killed at his home. The editorial talked about quite a number of issues. The editorial pointed out a few things. The editorial said that the president was busy traveling everywhere all around the world, but he forgot to visit those communities that faced or experienced one attack or many attacks. I mean, because there are some communities in the north, especially in the northwest, that actually experienced so many attacks.
Yeah,
you know, back to back. The president nor his handlers remembered for once to visit those places, those communities. The president also failed to even commiserate. That the editorial mentioned that they just kept getting rhetoric of they regretted the action,
they condemned the action.
Then they announced that they've sent commissioner or IGP to the place, whatever this is, and nothing has changed, that there is no value attached to lives in Nigeria. But here is my problem. We've always known that there is no value to lives in Nigeria. It's no breaking news. This is Nigeria. There's no premium to human lives. Nigerians don't matter to their government. That is why every now and again, in fact, let's even track back to the last administration. Billions of naira meant for arms purchase.
Yeah.
For a government who is supposed to take the lives of the citizens very seriously, you shared the money. When terrorists are busy blowing up buildings at the capital.
Yeah. They got that close.
They got that close. So life has never really mattered in Nigeria. I subscribe to what Chukwudi said earlier. We are at an all-time low.
If this is all-time low, could it get worse? Is Sandra on the line? Can you hear us?
I think we've set the bar to hell. The bar is right now in hell. Manny was telling me that he was speaking with someone who is in the force. And he was told that...
I've been here.
Okay. He was told that there are some areas, you know, around Nigeria that's unmapped.
Yeah, of course.
Unmapped. Meaning that if it's unmapped, well, you can't quite readily say something is happening here, rescue is coming up. And by the way, you know, I thought about it over the weekend. The issue of there's a problem, like kidnapping, and then there's a quick response, the same way we see when there's a protest and the government doesn't want the crowd together.
Yeah.
So how come you have security personnel in the armed to the teeth?
Yeah.
Get protesters, and then this issue of kidnapping being reported. In fact, Friday or Saturday, there was another video, someone capturing a moment along the Delta Asaba Highway. And he says, look, we're right now at a standstill. Yeah. He says, because kidnappers have taken over. And so we're hoping that in a while we'll be able to move. And I'm thinking, well, shouldn't that be, isn't there a state response or government response to that scene to comb it, to catch the kidnappers? There's nothing done about that. It is beyond surprising that we can honestly just come on radio talk about the issue of kidnapping and nothing happened. Mm. And it's as though, well, because nothing happens, it's guaranteed to happen again. Mm-hmm. And when you say we're at an all-time low, I think it's something worse than that. Because you see, if you had your government trying to capture kidnappers, punish them, and show the public that, look, government is working to ensure peace and stability, then maybe you can say, well, it's low, then there's the opportunity of coming back up. Mm. But this is not just low. Nothing is happening.
Another big example is government came to us and said, Boko Haram people are surrendering. Then guess what? Last week, they said those surrendered weren't sincere.
All fake.
So, you know, I've heard better stories. There's been better stories told. Fairy tales should come back because it's a thing to say, well, they were not sincere. I don't even know what that means.
So you have, like many people have asked, you have people who were confirmed Boko Haram who killed people, who destroyed communities, and who then came around because they're caught and say, oh, I've surrendered. Oh, I've changed.
So you need to put down.
So what process did you go through? This really a changed person. Remember, they had a program for them. I remember it's white.
Up and down,
you know, the umbrella. There was a big party.
With soft bread.
Chicken.
I heard
that they were given.
So here's a question. The people that are linked to the community, so they're well fed.
So what is the conscience of, and the government should not think that would not draw a conclusion. I don't know any world, any heaven where you not draw a conclusion if you follow the action or reaction of a government. Yeah. You say, well, we have captured them, we're trying to reorient society, and you know, let's forgive them, because they have the gospel of forgiveness. I thought it was weird.
Somebody said somebody can go on president.
No, but it's possible if you are forgiven, then you can vote and be voted.
If you forgive a criminal, for example, you're not going to put the person in the department where they count money.
It's foolish. It's to say that if a terrorist it's foolish.
But you know, actual fact, if they are forgiven, it means their record is wiped off and they cannot
go ahead.
Do you think it's impossible? We've had people. Oh, come on, guys.
In some crime, rape somebody, you're done for. They forgive you.
This is troubling is because everybody can sit down. You can go ahead. Not from the person. Not from the personality involved. The person who said it is more worrying.
All right, Sandra, let me hear your thoughts. Your face is fine. Sandra,
I will say that rehabilitation and reintegration are an actual valid way to fight terrorism, to combat terrorism. And the problem with the Nigerian rehabilitation and reintegration is the way that we're doing it. It's a problem with everything that we're in Nigeria. So all over the world, there has been uprisings, there have been terrorism, there have been terrorist groups. You often don't win the war with violence alone. You also have to rehabilitation and reintegration. Nigeria, we're doing it almost audio friendly, but we're doing that, you know, and that obviously get more transparent. The method we're deploying in doing it, we're going to be having situations where folks will come out and say, oh, the terrorists were not sincere. No, you know, Sherlock,
how do you get the problem is that how absolutely so the problem is like we're putting the card before the horse.
Phone lines because they want to kill us.
They will. We put the card before the horse. Rehabilitation is not the problem. Is there has to be a process. A bad process. So don't come back and say, oh,
we
have
spent
a
couple
of years. Of course, sure. I'm going to
phone. Do you know if you want to rehabilitate a group, time without number, you've said that they don't have a face.
Yeah.
Do you know how many times we've heard that one leader has been killed, one leader killed, the person appears?
Have you heard about card nine lives?
You have to make them faces.
All right. Sandra is the advocate of the people today. So please keep it brief and show me. Okay, hello. Good afternoon. What's your name?
Good afternoon. This is Jeff from Apapa.
Yeah, right. Make it quick for me.
I want to say something. Yeah. Nigeria situation. We are not thinking. See, we can't say a president that a citizen, he says for office, the vessel of a citizen. The president that does not care for a citizen, it doesn't matter whether you are far or you are near. He just do whatever it feels like. All the politicians, all the governors, they never care for us. Sandra says something that if you know you go out for 4 years, you will see. No matter if I will be there for 4 years and I know you will vote me out, I will pack all your money I needed.
You see?
But you will go to prison now. You should be able to go to prison.
Let me speak with Azu Frank here, calling in before. Hello, Frank.
Yeah, Sandra and
the whole team. Yes, I can hear you. Welcome. Where are you calling us from?
Oh, yeah. Indonesia, Jakarta. I want to talk about the security stuff we're talking about.
Right.
I am in Indonesia. The population of Indonesia is 270 million. Indonesia is the most populated Islamic country in the world. Why am I giving these statistics? Because in Nigeria, most of these security issues has to do with religion. Abi?
Yeah.
Islam and blah, 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 Islamization. Yeah. This country is the most populated Islamic country world. Is it that they don't have one or two? Yes, they do. Is it that they don't have one or two? Oh, this Sharia is prominent here too. But do you know what? The government checks it. Let me just summarize it. It still boils down to the government. If we have the people, I've listened to you guys for hours. Is at the end of the day, if the government is serious, imagine Sharif was saying something. Sharif, I agree to you.
I salute you.
Hear my voice. Yeah, if you have a government, imagine a government that cannot come and say hi to people that were injured. Just last, we heard it, Sokoto, that if Jokowi, that is the president of Indonesia, if that happens, what happens in Sokoto happens here, the guy will resign tomorrow. This is a population of 270 million Muslims, 90% Islam. Yet, they can be able to curb extremism and we are not serious.
Thank you very much, Frank, for calling. I think that's a summary. Good morning.
Hello. Well,
afternoon. Hello.
Call. This is Joy.
Joy, thank you for calling.
Yeah, I think the major problem we have here is we are mostly not nationals. That's the problem. Because if we are nationals, okay, irrespective of whatever you are, you really take your country at heart. You do the right thing. And I believe if our national anthem should be changed to this Timi Dakolo song, because whenever I listen to that song, it makes me love my country, Nigeria. It brings the nationalism into me. I just wish and pray that Nigeria becomes a better place. I think they should change the national anthem. Let them take this Kiwi sentiment. Take the Timi Dakolo's that song.
Great Nation.
Great Nation. Yeah, because when you're singing it, you are happy within you. You feel that this is a country I really want it to work.
All right. Thank you, Joy. Thank you very much. I'll speak with Ezekiel and speak with Chukwudi that's shaking his head there. Hello, Ezekiel. Hi.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Welcome.
And thanks, Joy, for this time.
Sure.
Yeah. I want to say that we all know not defining leadership by the situation of Nigeria. Leadership, a leader is meant to inspire his followers. Now, the fact now remains that as far as insecurity is concerned in Nigeria, let us come and reason. What has the government done to actually inspire people to go about their legitimate way of doing things? Now, what willingness is our so-called leaders having to curb this incessant abuse of security agencies, or clamping down on the right of the citizens? So what I'm trying to say is this. If you want to proffer a solution to a problem, a leader should be able to actually identify that problem and get to see and work with people that can actually bring solution to that same problem.
All right, Ezekiel.
But if you look at the situation of this country, the so-called leaders are even the perpetrators of all these dastardly acts.
Unfortunately, true. All right, we're coasting home now. We've got just 1 minute to go. Chukwudi, you were shaking your head. You want a new national anthem.
Whether we retain the present national anthem or replace it with Great Nation, or even if it's Unzobu Eyin by Eyin, it doesn't still change anything.
Yeah.
You have people who are public officials. They have their oath of office and oath of allegiance administered with the Holy Book, Bible, Quran, and yet they act in a manner that clearly derails from the person that they profess. You know, if you are a Christian, Christ-like, if you are a Muslim, you act in this manner. So I think that as a people first, if we think about humanity first, do unto others what you want them to do unto you.
Thank you.
We would, as a people, begin to hold our elected representatives accountable first. Know who your councillors are.
All right.
Local government chairperson.
Thank you, Chukwudi. We're crossing. We have a few seconds to go. Collins, your final words.
Yeah, my final word is that, man, I will take it from a point of internal security. There are a lot of things happening even in our backyard here. Just be watchful, be vigilant, be a brother's keeper, and let's all hope that Nigeria will get better.
Thank you. Later.
Yeah, right. So for me, you know, with all that we've talked about today, if you're not going to take anything from this conversation, is go and get your PVC. So together we'll make it a better place. I want to have better conversations next time on the round table.
Thank you. Sheriff?
I will just say that we're all stakeholders in the business of building Nigeria. So let's all own up to that responsibility and Nigeria will change.
Thank you.
Commodore Kunle Olawuni retired, had an interview not too long ago on Channels Television. And he was credited to, with a statement where he said, and I quote, that Boko Haram terrorists were being sponsored by governors, senators, and some officials in the presidency. I feel like the president is going anywhere. This government should be different. People are left to conclude on their sentiments.
Thank you. Sandra, a quick word. Is Sandra there?
Online, so.
That's her word. Okay, she's not here, but we need to go. It's been fantastic doing this. The year is wrapping up for us. We're going to have more interesting conversations on radio. You can trust us on Nigeria Info. We're always here. We're going to have lunch, courtesy the sherry.
Yeah, I was going to say that.
Thank you.
We're all on social media. Go find us. Go find us there and later. The sun is set right now. Joyce will stay here. We'll have lunch. Aww. All right, buddy. See you again later. Bye now.